Hello. Welcome to Real Talk with Dr. Irie Podcast. I'm your host, Irie Lynn Session, preacher, pastor, author, mother, mentor, coach, and unapologetically womanist. Real Talk Podcast programming is always relevant, relational, and real. So let's get started. Today, I saw a beautiful example of a daddy's love for his daughter. There's a new Pantene commercial that shows fathers of various races and ethnicities doing their daughter's hair and talking with them and laughing with them. And it just talked about how daddies contribute to creating strong women. And I just had the biggest smile on my face as I watched that commercial. It reminded me just how special the daddy-daughter relationship is. It also brought me back to my own childhood. You see, I didn't have daddy at home, loving, caring, braiding my hair. How does a girl who grew up into an intelligent, competent, gifted, and talented woman cease longing for something she never had and will never receive? Is it possible to live an emotionally healthy life without the tender love and attention of daddy? Well, I've discovered that with God and good therapy and the love of others, it's possible. But it takes work, lots of gut-wrenching, soul-searching, truth-telling work. At least it did for me. On today's Real Talk with Dr. Irie podcast, I'm going to share my story, my longing for daddy. Daddy, I needed you. Longing for daddy's love is no joke. It's real. It's painful, and most times I didn't even recognize how not experiencing a daddy's love impacted my emotional well-being and my relationships. I grew up with a fantasy of what life would be like if daddy was married to my mother. He would love me. He would tell me I was pretty, hold my hand as we walked together. I would feel safe and special, adored and beautiful. I would feel valued and valuable. Instead, daddy wasn't there. No hugs, no goodnight kisses, no attention, and no daddy's love. So when mom met and married my stepfather, I was 9 years old and angry. In fact, I begged her not to do it. My stepfather was a New Yorker, street smart. He worked hard, had lots of good stories, and never put his hands on me. Only once do I remember him holding my hand. It was a special day. He took me to the Bronx Zoo. I remember that day like it was yesterday. I had this cute little khaki raincoat with a matching scarf. We took pictures as we walked around the park. I remember a picture of me looking up at this large, tall giraffe. I remember my little hand in his. I'm not sure why, but it never happened again. My stepfather was a heroin addict. When I was about 10 or 11, I found his syringe, a Coke bottle top, rubber band, and matches in the bathroom. I don't know how, but I knew exactly what they were used for. Finding his drug paraphernalia helped me understand why he spent hours in the bathroom. Many IV drug users also develop sores on their legs and arms. Sometimes, as in the case of my stepfather, those sores became infected and emitted a terrible odor. It was the smell of death in my house. For years, that odor lingered in our home. During most of my adolescent years, I didn't like my stepfather. I didn't like that he spent his money on whatever he wanted, clothes, drugs, and my mom paid all the household bills. I didn't like seeing my mother looking out of the kitchen window crying because He hadn't been home in days. Where was my real daddy, I wondered. Certainly he would love us and take care of us. But daddy never came. Eventually, in my early 20s, I connected with my bio father. Just let's say he wasn't the fantasy daddy I imagined. Among other things, he was a raging alcoholic. He died a few years after my getting to know him. Shortly after that, my stepfather also died. I did make peace, however, with my stepfather. While he was in the hospital following a stroke, I traveled to New York to be with him. It was a difficult decision to make, but a wise woman counseled me. I told her I did not have feelings of love for my stepfather. She said this, "Sometimes when you do the right thing for someone, the feelings will come." That's exactly what happened. Spending time with my stepfather in the hospital prior to his death enabled us to talk like never before. He told me he loved me and was proud of me. He also told me why he didn't show me affection. You see, my stepfather had several friends who were also stepfathers, but these men sexually abused their stepdaughters. My stepfather never wanted me to think or feel that he was a perpetrator. He also knew that I had been a victim of child sexual abuse. So he withheld what I needed most, a daddy's tender love and affection. Never feeling or experiencing daddy's love is a loss of tremendous proportion, which is why I'm grateful to see how my daughter's daddy loves her. I so enjoy hearing her speak these words, "My daddy." There is a confidence and strength that my daughter has that I did not have. I know without a doubt it's because of her daddy. I receive joy and a little bit of healing each time he compliments her or tells her how proud of her he is. My daughter is receiving daddy's love, and for that, I am grateful. I'm also grateful for men in my life who are my friends, men who believe in me and say so. Men who tell me I'm smart, beautiful, brilliant, fine, and even sexy. Yep, I need it all. I am thankful for men in my life who see the pastor and the woman. Men who have not tried to use my vulnerability against me. I thank God for men, good men, very good men, who love their daughters and their sons. Men who refuse to abandon their children, even if the relationship with their mother doesn't work out. This is my reflection on Daddy from a daughter who never had one, but understands the magnitude of such a loss. Daddy, I needed you. Thanks for tuning in to Real Talk with Dr. Irie, where we keep it relevant, relational, and real. Until next time, peace.